Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Most of you know how I came to the Lord. How many of you know how I came to the Lord? Just out of curiosity. You know my story. We're not going to go into the story today, but this is what I want to say to you. If you don't know the story, you can catch up along the way. But this is what I would say. I once was lost, but then Jesus. Can anybody say amen to that? I once was lost, but then Jesus. I once was lost, and then Jesus spoke. How many of you remember when Jesus spoke? I promise you, I was lost as lost, but then Jesus spoke. You know my story. You know I heard the voice of God, and in an instant, my life changed. I once was lost, and then I ran to Jesus, who is the light and the life of men. The light and the life of men. Church, when you hear his voice, when you hear him call your name, don't just sit there, but get up and run to the life and the light of men. You gotta get up and run. When you hear his voice, when you hear him call your name, you gotta get up and run. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 11 from verse 1. For those of you who don't have a Bible, how many of you have got a Bible? Amen. Praise God. How many of you still bring your Bible to church? Praise God. One. Can I encourage all of you, when it comes to your Bible, can I encourage you, if you don't have a paper Bible, which is what we had in the old days, can I encourage you, go buy one this week. When you do your Bible study, don't just do it on your iPad or your iPhone, and you're like, oh, you're hung up in the past, man, you're a hippie from the 60s. No, I'm not. The reality is, if you want to learn and you want that word to stay in your spirit, you want it to be, because you know as well as I do, when you're scrolling, you don't remember on the scroll exactly where it is. But when you have a page and you underline it and you draw little circles around it and you, and then you know what I'm talking about. All right, so just helping you out there. That's for free. Praise God. John chapter 11 from verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. We heard about that this morning already. When Louise started reading from that scripture, I'm like, I'm in the right place today. Praise God. I'm in the right place because already the scene is set. Already there's something happening in the spirit and God is wanting to do something powerful. Let's not be a people who come to church for the sake of coming to church, but let's be people who come to church for an encounter with God. I don't know about you. I don't want to do church anymore. I want to encounter Jesus. I was locked up for a year and I'm like, I don't want to be locked up anymore. I want to break out. Sit down. What's the matter with you people? So, welcome. Some of you are like, is he always this excited? I can't help but be excited today. Let's go back to the word of the Lord. All right. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Let's just get this out the way now. When stuff is going down in our life, it's not an issue of love. Oh, God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. I don't love God. You don't love God. We don't love God. No, it's not an issue of love. Let's just push that to the side. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. What the heck? What about Pastor Jesus? You know, we should be able to ring Jesus and he should come to us immediately, shouldn't he? But not this Jesus. John chapter 11, verse 17. When you go home, read all of John chapter 11, but we're going to go straight to 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. How many of you know that's like a 30 to a 40-minute walk, depending on how fast you walk? And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. They came to comfort in the loss. How many of you have experienced loss recently? None of you? No, 4 of you. How many of you have experienced loss in life? Give me a wave if you've experienced loss in life. As in, loss is part of life. If you're going to live life, you're going to experience loss. In this situation, many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss and the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Let's drop down now to verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he stinketh, for he has been there for 4 days. Lord, Lord, don't move the stone. The man is on the nose. You know, don't move the stone, Lord. It's going to be dangerous for us all." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I love this passage of scripture, and if you've been in the Joy for any length of time, you know, like I've preached out of it 1,000 times already. And I'm going back here today, and I want to look at it maybe from another point of view, because essentially what we have here is three siblings and the light and the life of men, who is, of course, Jesus. But we have three siblings. Before the end of today, my friends, you're going to have the opportunity to do two things. Every person in this room is going to have the opportunity to give their life to Christ. Every person. It is my responsibility as a minister of the gospel. It is your responsibility as a minister of the gospel to give people the opportunity to come to Christ, to give people the opportunity to come alive in God. Friends, at the end of today, you will have the opportunity to give your life to God. The other thing you're going to have the opportunity to do is leave your loss behind. Leave your loss behind. Before today is out, you're going to have the opportunity to come to Jesus and leave behind that which you have lost. How many of you have ever suffered loss? I'll ask you again. Give me a big wave, big wave. Now, I know the reality. Some of you have suffered loss a long time ago, and it's like you have moved on. You've stepped on. But for some of you, even though it was a long time ago, the loss is still very real in your life. Others of you, you suffered loss last year, and it's like it is burnt. It is etched in you. There is a loss within you that you can't seem to shake off, and it's all over you. Others of you, maybe this year, maybe this week, maybe yesterday, maybe this morning, maybe during the night, whenever it was, it was like something happened in your life and it's, you've lost something near and dear to your heart. We've all suffered loss. How many of you know God suffered loss? You say, really? God suffered loss? Yes, God suffered loss. How many of you know that in Luke chapter 15, there are three parables. One is about a lost sheep, one is about a lost coin, and one is about a lost son. How many of you know those parables? Give me a wave if you know those parables. All right, those parables are about the realities of loss. But you know what I love about the parables? What it actually reveals is not just what was lost, but how far God will go to redeem that which is lost. How far God will go to redeem that which is lost. I once was lost, but now I'm. Why? Because of the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. You're not found because you're good. You were found because God is good. God is good. All right. So we have three siblings here. And in a time of great loss, no doubt about it, great loss, we see three different responses. John chapter 11, reading from verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. I think the reason that it's taken, you need to note that. It's there for a reason. Less than 2 miles. The word has gone out and he's just 2 miles up the road. Pastor Jesus, all caring Jesus, loving Jesus, comforting Jesus, encouraging Jesus. He's just up the road. 2 miles up the road. Unbelievable. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss, in the loss of their brother. I think it's interesting that they came to comfort, but as Jesus comes to town, I don't think he's come to comfort. He hasn't come to comfort. As in, you know, at the risk of sounding whatever, this is going to sound harsh. There's a lot of bleeding hearts out there. Let's all just sit around and hold hands together and, ha, 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 you poor thing. How many of you know he didn't come to poor thing anybody? He didn't come to do that. Everyone else came to comfort because they had nothing else to give. But how many of you know Jesus has got a whole lot more to give than comfort in your moment of loss? He's got a whole lot more. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Mary stayed at home. So firstly, we have Mary. Mary loves the Lord, no doubt about that. But in her loss, she's staying home. I'm not going out to him. I'm not going anywhere. He didn't listen to my prayers. He didn't answer my prayers. He didn't come when we called him. I'm not going out to him. Martha, don't go out to him. And Martha's like, leave me alone. I'm going out. So she runs off. But not Mary. Mary's like, no, 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 no. How many of you know Mary is offended? Mary is offended. How many of you have ever been offended by God? If you haven't been offended by God, you just stay around. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get offended. God is going to offend you. And it's like, why? Because he loves you. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to man up. He wants you to woman up. He wants you to become a mature person. So when the storms of life come and loss comes your way, you're not like a shrinking violet. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's Mary. Mary's like, she loves the Lord. Love is not the issue. The Lord loves Mary. Love is not the issue. But in this moment, she is offended. You didn't come to me. Well, I'm not going to come to you. Her heart is locked up and she's staying put. When I called you, you didn't come. How many of you have prayed? Jesus, I need. Okay. I know you're just up the road. Everybody knows you're just up the road. Why don't you come? He doesn't come. She's offended. You didn't come when I called. You didn't answer when I prayed. Now I'm grieving and I'm suffering. Why should I come out to you? Huh. We know the Jews, they'd come to comfort. We know that from Scripture. Now, as I said, you know Jesus. He's altogether love. He's altogether good. He's altogether kind, caring, all of that. But he hasn't come to comfort. He hasn't come to comfort. So what does Jesus do? I think it's really interesting. Jesus comes to town. Martha comes out. He obviously is aware Mary's still inside. But what does he do? Does he go inside? Does he go looking for Mary? Where's Mary? Mary, 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 where are you, Mary? How many of you know, I don't see him. I don't see him going inside, going from room to room to room to room looking for Mary. He doesn't do that. He's like, I'm going to leave her for a minute. I'm going to leave her. Mary's cracked the sads with God. How many of you have ever cracked the sads with God? Maybe you're watching online this morning and you've cracked the sads with God. I'm never going back to church. I'm never going anywhere. I'm never going to God again. It's like, friends, if you're watching online, I promise you this, even though you may have cracked the sads with God, God knows your heart. God knows where you're at. He may not be coming to you, but this word is coming to you. And there's a reason today that it's coming to you. So here we have Mary, and Mary's in this place. Does he go get her? No, doesn't go get her. He doesn't, in the moment, he actually doesn't do anything. Then secondly, we have Martha. Martha was also grieving, even as Mary was. She is grieving, she's suffering. Martha also called to Jesus. She also prayed to God. But in her loss, her response is completely different. In John chapter 11, reading from verse 20, it says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Some of you need to hear this today. I am the resurrection and the life. You're thinking it'll be okay when we get to heaven. We'll all be together again when we get to heaven. But Jesus says to her, and Jesus would say to you, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks this question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Brothers and sisters, can I ask you today, do you believe this? You know what I love about Jesus? When he's with the disciples and when he's with those he loves, he often asks questions that require a response. He often gets into their grill. He gets into that personal space where it's like, what do you believe? He says, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, listen to this now. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. I love this. This is humanity right here. I'm ticked with God. I'm never going to speak to him again. Oh, he wants to see me. Let's go. Praise God. Because really, she loved the Lord. As in, it's a bit like husband and wife stuff, right? That you guys are married. You got married. Have you worked the husband and wife stuff out yet? You know what I'm saying? It's like you get ticked with each other. I'm not going to talk to him. And then he walks in with fish and chips and you're like, ah! It's like, praise the Lord. We know how it works. So we know how it works. Because why? Because you love him. We all love him. Praise God. It's like it with Jesus too, though, isn't it? It's like we get ticked with Jesus. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. He let me down. But then at the first sense, it's like, here he's reaching for me. It's like, I'm right back there. I love that. So even though the sisters had been through exactly the same thing, yes, their grief and suffering was same, yet at the name of Jesus, we see a completely different response. As soon as Martha hears Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Friends, I want to encourage you, get this sense that when you hear Jesus is coming, let the fire begin to roar. Let the fire... When you hear Jesus come, she hears Jesus coming. And Martha instantly is up and she's out there because her fire has not been quenched. Her spirit has not been, no. Her faith is, it's like, how many of you know the devil wants to quench your faith? The devil wants to quench your spirit. The devil wants to snuff you out. But he wants to get to a place that when Jesus is coming, you're like, well, I don't care if he's coming. He can come and he can go. I'm not, because we've suffered loss. But friends, we don't want to be a Mary. We want to be a Martha. it's like, come on. We've got to transition. We don't want to be a people who fold our arms in church and it's like, I'll go to church, but I'm not going to listen to what he says. I'm not going to raise my hands in worship. I'm not going to give anything to God. I'm not going to give anything to... No. I'm going to keep it for myself. He can do whatever he wants. He hurt me. He didn't come when I asked him to come. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Is it just me? Bad seasons. But how many of you know the love of God is compelling? The love of God is overwhelming. But she understands that, Martha understands that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Initially, she's thinking that, I'll see my brother again when we're resurrected in the last days. But then as she talks with Jesus, she goes deeper. And she realizes we're not talking about a miracle that's a long way off now, but I'm stepping into a space where I'm getting revelation. How many of you know you're never going to get revelation if you sit there with an attitude towards God? You're never going to get revelation. You've got to get up and go to Jesus. And when you get up and go to Jesus, you'll get revelation. He'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. And then all of a sudden, the light begins to come on. The light begins to come on. And then we have, let's just keep moving along because I know you want to get to the front. Some of you today, you need to get to the front. You'll hear this, all right. Then we have Lazarus as Jesus spoke. In fact, one in the worship team, come and help me now. Then we have Lazarus as Jesus spoke Lazarus' name. Lazarus! Think about it. Lazarus is dead. Like D-E-D, dead. He's cold. He's on the mat. He's dead. Jesus cries out. He could have said, Lazarus, Lazarus, can you hear me? But how many of you did it? He didn't, because he wanted everyone to hear. He's not yelling because Lazarus is deaf. He was dead, not deaf. Lazarus! No, no. It was like, it was for everybody else, not for Lazarus. As in, he just had to speak Lazarus' name. And at the spoken word of God, that which was dead came back to life. That which is dead came back to life. Lazarus instantly comes to life. Some of you came here this morning thinking, I'm just going to go to church. No, there's an appointed time for a man to be saved. There's an appointed time for a woman to be saved. Some of you are going to hear God speak your name today. It's your time to come alive in Christ. Today's your day. Lazarus! Comma. Lazarus. Now think about it. Think about it. Lazarus was dead. Now he's alive. But he hasn't forgotten what's happened here. We were praying. We were asking. We sent messages. We did all we knew to do. We had the Bible. Old Testament. We had it. We're crying out to God. Where is our God that saved our fathers? I was sick. I watched my sisters grieving. Went through this sickness. And you didn't come. Lazarus is in the same boat as Mary and Martha now. Because although he's alive, he's now got a choice to make. And the word of God, Lazarus, come out. Am I going to come out or not? We think it's almost like, well, Lazarus come out, he's got no choice. Now, Lazarus, comma, there's a pause here. I'm waking up, shaking death off. Come out. Now, what am I going to do with that command? What are you going to do with that command? Come out. What are you going to do with it? Because think about it. He's in a tomb. It's dark. It's cold. He's by himself. He's got death all over him. He's been grieving. He's got sorrow. He's got pain. Despair. Feeling rejected by God. And he's in that space. But now he hears the word of the Lord. Come out. Come out. He's bound up. He's wrapped up. He can't move. He can't get out. It's like, what am I going to do? I put my trust in this guy before. Put my trust in God before. He let me down. Put my trust in Jesus. I thought I love Jesus. I do love Jesus. Thought Jesus loved me. He's 2 miles up the road. 30 or 40 minutes. He didn't come for me. Now he's saying, come out. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? As in, let's move from Lazarus. What are you going to do? You've been let down. You've been bound up. You've been in grief. You've been in sorrow. You've been in pain. You've been in despair, just like Lazarus was. But how many of you know Lazarus in this moment? He wakes up. He wakes up. He can make a decision now. I can either step out into the presence of God. I can either go towards the life and the light of men, or I can just stay here on the slab. I can stay here in my grief. I can stay here in my sorrow. I can stay here in my loss. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? What did Lazarus do? Just like his sisters, he makes his choice. He makes his choice. Yes, it's true. It's true. Lazarus' life had not gone how he planned it to go. He didn't plan to die young. That wasn't the plan. It wasn't his plan. He lost his dreams. His dreams had fallen over. He died. He died to his dreams. In fact, he died full stop. But when the word of God came, even though he was in that place, he made a decision. And in that decision, he hops out. I say hops because he's all bound up. He's bound up. How many of you are bound up? As in laxatives will help you. But he's bound up. It's different. He's bound up. And what does he do? He rises up and he begins to hop towards the life and the light of man. He begins to hop out of the grave. He begins to hop out of the tomb. And he comes out before the word of God. Think about it. When Jesus came to the lost brother, the one who had lost hope, lost joy, lost his dreams, lost his family, lost his life. When Jesus came, he didn't go into the tomb. Some of you want Jesus to come into your tomb. Some of you are like Mary. I'm going to sit here until God comes to me. I'm not going to go out to God anymore. I've been hurt by God. You didn't answer my prayers. I'm going to sit there. Mary sat there. And it's like, here we have Lazarus. Lazarus is there. He lost everything. But Jesus still did not enter into the tomb. He's not going into that place of death, that place of loss, that place of grief. No, no, no. He comes and he stands before the grave and he calls Lazarus out. I think we live in a generation, let's go here. Can I encourage you? Oh, no, I won't say it like that. That sounds harsh. But we need to rise up. We need to rise up. You need to rise up. If you're a man of God, woman of God, if you've got faith in your life, you need to rise up and go to where God is. So God has come so far. He's come to your town. He's come to your grave. He's come to your place of loss, but now he's calling you out. He ain't coming into that place. He ain't going to come and stroke you. He ain't going to, oh, are you okay there? He ain't going to come and comfort you. No, 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 no. You got to get up and go to where he is. And when you go to where he is, he will minister to you. The word of God will come to you. The light of God will enlarge you and enlighten you. The life of God is going to change your life. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. Friends, I encourage you today, we've got to make a choice. We've got to make a choice. Don't be wanting God to come and sit with you in your despair. Don't be wanting God to come and sit with you in your tomb, in your grave, in your darkness, in your despair. Just as God called Lazarus out, God's calling you out. It was in that place that he came out into the life and the light of God, the light of men. It was in that place as he stood before the Lord. Think about this, that Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap him and let him go. Why do I say that? Because this is why I want to say it. Whether you like it or not, you are in the body of Christ and you cannot do life without the body. We want to get free by ourselves. We either want to sit there like Mary did, or we want to go have an encounter with Jesus and it's just God and me. We are good by ourselves. We don't need all of you. Friends, you need each other. You need it. Can I encourage you? Get over yourself now. Just get over yourself. You're like, struth, that's harsh. As in my mum used to say struth all the time. I'm not too sure what it means, but struth, you know what I'm saying? Her name was Ruth and she said struth. But anyway, moving right along. And so here's the thing. You need each other. If you want to be free, you need each other. You need a brother and a sister and a church that loves you enough to come alongside of you and unwrap you, to take off the bandages that are trying to bind you and hold you and keep you in a place of death, in a place of sorrow, in a place of grief, in a place of loss. You need your brothers and sisters to unwrap you. There are men and women here and you've been suffering loss from loss. Some of you lost things like 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Some of you are older and you lost things when you were a child and still to this day, you haven't been able to shake it. Some of you lost things last year and as a result of COVID and the lockdowns and shutdowns and businesses and relationships and friendships and opportunities. Some of you have lost things even this year in the last week, 2 weeks, and it's like a thorn in your flesh. Friends, I believe the Lord would stand before you today and he would say, come out. He would call you by name. He would call you by name right now. He would call you by name. 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 He'd call you by name and he'd say, come out. Come out. Come out.